Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. 45 years of ministry tomorrow. I am blessed. Being married to Joan for 38 years, I am blessed. And having the honor of being your servant leader in the Word, I am blessed. So thank you. Thank you all. Thank my God. How do you get to know someone? Huh? How do you get to know someone? You have to spend time with them, right? You have to get to know them and spend time and build a relationship. Well, you know, that's what you're doing right now. Come here on a Sunday morning to pray to God, to sing hymns to God, to hear the Word of God, and soon you'll receive the sacrament of God. You get to know God, who loves you so much. And you get to know how special you are to God, and how God's special to you. And you get to know one another. You know, old friends become deeper friends at St. Paul's. People that are strangers become friends. So it's wonderful on the vertical with God, that relationship that is the most powerful and wonderful and eternal relationship, and that with one another, horizontal. And you may not know this, but this is good for you. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. There's a Christian doctor, a psychologist, David Myers, who's done studies of people who join and are committed to faith communities. He did a 16-year study with 3,900 Israelis that belong to religious communities. It could be a kibbutz or it could be a synagogue or whatever, but they associated with this. And he found that those who have this kind of relationship have better immune systems and have a stronger protection effect. In every age group, those who belong to religious communities were half as likely than their non-religious people to have died in this period of time, in the period of time that the study was conducted. In an earlier study in Maryland, 91,909 people were observed, and found that those who attended religious services weekly were less likely to die during this period of time than those who did not. They also found that 53% of the people who did this had less coronary disease. 53% had less death by suicide. 74% had less death due to cirrhosis of the liver. Teenagers were less likely to experiment with drugs or commit suicide. And more families stayed intact than the nation's average that attended the religious services on an ongoing basis, according to Dr. Myers. And you can find this on davidmyers.org. You can find more. It's very fascinating. So what you're doing now is good for your health. In fact, I wish more doctors would prescribe going to church. But this shouldn't surprise us, right? We're here worshiping the living God, the God of healing and salvation and goodness. And we follow Jesus. We grow in support of one another. You know, haven't you heard more people tell you that have been through rough times, "I don't know what I would do without my church." Huh? You ever heard that? "I don't know what I'd do without the people's visits and their prayers and bringing over a casserole or writing a letter or give me a phone call." It was so helpful, so strengthening. Following Jesus, praying for others, praying to Jesus, Jesus makes the abundant life possible in the here and now, not only in the hereafter, but right now. That's why the psalmist today, Psalm 116 that we sang today, he talks about, I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I called upon him. Today, the psalmist points to God's strong and saving presence that gives a stability in life. God listens to you because he loves you. You are that important. And when you pray, it makes a difference. I mean, look at Genesis, where Abraham was praying to God about Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, well, listen, God, are you going to destroy this city? Well, if there's 40 righteous people, okay, for 40, I won't do it. How about 20? I won't do it. For 10 people, and at that time, God didn't do it. So when you pray, believe it or not, the God we have is a God who listens. And it changes God, and it changes things in ways we don't understand. Today, the psalmist prays to God's presence. Today, he says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. And what does the psalmist do? What does he do? Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. And what happened when he prayed? The psalmist said he experienced the life-giving power of God. You know, have you ever had that experience? I mean, I know when I had my cancer surgery and I had an epidural and I was in bed and I had to get up for the first time. But in front of me, I had like kids from the church had signed, Sunday school kids had signed a card that they loved me and they said they're praying for me. And when I got up, it was painful, yeah, but I felt like, you ever feel that? I was like lifted up. It was like I felt the prayers. I felt them. And the psalmist says today, turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated you well. For you have rescued my life from the death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I imagine, Yvonne, you prayed for Preston, and he gave you a gift, even though you had to go and say, oh my God, go to Walmart and all that. But still, you know, it was a gift. It was a gift. The Lord heard him and delivered him. So the psalmist prayed and the Lord answered. You know, that happens. You know that. I mean, Luther prayed. Oh, he didn't just pray in the tough, you do pray in the tough times. And it's okay to pray for an A on a test. You can pray for anything you want. But Luther prayed all the time. He prayed first thing in the morning for Luther. That was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Then he'd pray again with his family at breakfast. Then he'd pray at noon. And if he's having a tough day, he'd take his psalter, the psalms, and go and pray until, he said, his heart was warmed. Then he'd go back into the day. He prayed at after supper, before and after supper. And he prayed in the evening. He said, without prayer, I can do nothing. He said, without prayer, any work that I do, even if it looks good, becomes ungodly, no matter how good it looks to others. Prayer was a foundation of Martin Luther's life and what he calls us, his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren in the faith, to do also. I mean, how many of you pray? All right, all right. You can talk to God anytime. You can receive his strength anytime. I mean, you can pray, Lord Jesus, help me. You can pray, breathe in, like, my Lord, breathe out, my God. You can pray the Jesus prayer, O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You can pray as you're walking. You can pray when you hear an ambulance. Say, Lord God, be with those ambulance drivers and the medical people and pray for the people that they're going to help or the firemen. I can just pray any spontaneous prayer. You can pray liturgical prayer. You've got tens of prayers in the front of your bulletin, your hymnal. You don't have to be anything different. Just as you are, where you are. You could be taking a shower and you have an inspiration, pray to God. And Luther would also say when you're taking a shower, remember you're baptized, remember the water. Yeah. Again, Martin Luther would say that if something dreadful or frightening happens to you, make the sign of the cross and pray, Lord God, save me, or Lord God, help me, or help me, Jesus. Very simple. Or if something happy or wonderful happens to you, make the sign of the cross and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. God be praised, or God has bestowed good upon me. You can pray anyway, anytime. Sometimes I'll walk around the cemetery. I watch for the deer droppings, but you walk around, and I pray for all those wonderful saints that are there. I pray for you. You can do that anytime. I was walking, it was around 10 o'clock on Thursday, I was walking across that bridge at North Park, and I heard our carillon. And I thank God for the music, and for the, it was a sunny day, I thank God for the Lord, and for being alive, and for all of you, and for people in the world, for peace. Any tongue can praise God any way, anytime. I'd like to see right now, how many have had an answer to prayer in your life? How many have had an answer to prayer that you really prayed and something happened? Okay, see, God's working. I read somewhere that nearly 2 out of 3 American adults have experienced significant answers to prayer. Many of them were miracles. How many of you have experienced a miracle through prayer? Yeah. When Joan said yes to me, I said, wow, this pretty girl. I said, thank you, Jesus. And she said, oh, Jesus, you know, but whatever. Yeah. But the sad thing is, we don't share those many times with other people. I mean, Devon did today, and Abby did today, but to share that, because that encourages other people. Say, God's always listening to us. But to be conscious of God, we have to respond and pray and be aware of God in our lives and see God. So why don't we share more of this? As St. Paul's, we want to celebrate your relationship with God. That's why we talk about our God sightings before the service. Or rejoice with you with answered prayer. Or cry with you and pray with you in times of sadness or disappointment or fear. Today I want to encourage you to find one person you kind of trust or you like, and share with them your special miracle, your special answer to prayer. Maybe we're downstairs when we're having ice cream. Maybe to share with them, wow, how wonderful the Lord is in your life. And how when you pray, you know God has answered and God gave you the strength that you needed at the time. Or gave somebody else the strength they needed at the time. So, okay, let's stop talking about prayer. That Lutherans are good at talking about things. Let's do it, okay? Let's sit comfortable in your pew, be comfortable. Okay, and one way of physically being receptive to prayer is turning your hands like this on your lap or on your knees. And, you know, close your eyes. Expect God to be present. Expect God to hear your prayer. Now, I'll pray some petitions and, you know, just be there and be open. Be still and know God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being there. Thank you for being here with us today as we gather, because you said where two or more in your name are present, you are present. We know that you are Lord over all creation, and we know that you love us and invite us to come and share with you what is most important in our lives, what is making our hearts happy or making our hearts heavy. Each of us trusts you with what we value most in our lives. And in this stillness, in this silence of prayer, we come to you and open our hearts to you and share with you what's on our hearts right now. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Help us to really believe that you have heard, and know that we, by putting our treasures in your hands, you will be safe and always even safe into eternity. Now we pray for others, those whose lives are broken or in turmoil, or in darkness, or have diseases that are scary. Those whose lives have been turned upside down because of loss. Those who want you to heal their lives, their families. And in this silence, we present them to you. Lord, thank you for those who have experienced joy this week, happiness, laughter, for those whose lives have been blessed with new life, a new marriage, a new baptism, that personal success that they work so hard for which they have waited, the joy of worshiping here, the joy of anticipating our ice cream social. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and bless you and worship you. We glorify you and give you thanks. And we give you our hearts and our lives. Use them in your goodness as you see fit. Walk with us from this place into those relationships that mean so much to us this week. Into whatever joy or whatever conflicts is in front of us, and send us your Holy Spirit to remind us that you are always already with us in all situations and even to the end of the age. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.